first new technologies, helping astronomers discover lots and lots of planets in distant solar systems and learn more about them. Some of those planets have shown up in places and styles that scientists didn't expect, making them rethink old theories of how planets form. And new telescopes keep coming online, providing new answers and opening up new questions. Daniel Cleary is Science Magazine's senior correspondent in the United Kingdom and author of the book A Piece of the Sun, The Quest for Fusion Energy. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's nice to be with you.
Well, there was this boom in the number of exoplanets being discovered over the last decade or so. And it sounds like in addition to all this quantity, we're starting to see more quality. What kind of new things are we able to learn about planets in other solar systems?
At the moment, you can't find out very much about individual planets. You can find out how close they are to their star, how large they are, but that's about it. You know, so it's mostly been a matter of getting a lot of statistics, finding as many planets as we can, what sort of stars are they orbiting, how large they are, and how close to their stars. And that's told us amazing things, because what they found are planetary systems that are completely unlike our own, which was a big surprise for astronomers.
Let's get into that, because I think, understandably, a lot of our guesses about how solar systems worked were based on the one we stand in all the time. It turns out things are really different in a lot of solar systems. What kind of weirdnesses, by our standards, have we discovered out there?
Well, you know, right from the very first planet around another star, or exoplanet, that was discovered in 1995, it was completely unexpected. It was a big planet, you know, sort of 150 times the mass of Earth, so about half the size of Jupiter, but it was really, really close to its star. It was closer than Mercury, our closest planet to the Sun. It was closer than that to its star. And no, astronomers just had no idea how you could form such a large planet so close in, because there's just not enough material there to make a large planet.
And if I remember this right, some of these large planets astronomers have found close to suns, their year in some cases is 4 days. It takes us 4 days to go around their sun.
Yeah, that's true. That first one, 51 Pegasi b, it's called, takes 4 days to orbit. So as you can imagine, it's whipping around its star really fast.
Why did we think we couldn't have a planet that big, a gas giant, that close to its sun?
Well, it's a matter of what you make planets out of. You know, when a star forms, it's essentially just comes from a cloud of dust and gas that exists out in space that starts to pull itself together under its own gravity. And soon, you know, the stuff that's in the middle forms a star, and when there's enough of it and it gets hot enough, it starts to burn. And then what's left over forms itself into a disk that orbits around the star. And it's from this disk that planets start to form. So, you know, first you'll have dust grains that start to glom together, and then they'll form pebbles and eventually rocks. And you just build up like that in a hierarchical way. And once they get to the size of a small planet, they start, you know, orbiting around their star, and they just hoover up everything else because of their own gravity. And if you're very close to the star, you know, you're on a very short path, so there isn't much stuff to hoover up. But if you're way out, you know, your path can take years to travel around the star, and so there's lots of material, and so you can form a big planet. But you know, close in, there just isn't the stuff. So, you know, people were really confused by that.
So it sounds like there's an argument between the idea that, okay, maybe we got it wrong. There's a way that a big Jupiter-type planet could form that close to the sun. Or, no, we were right, but it started way out there and for some reason decided to relocate in closer to the sun.
Yes, astronomers are still arguing about this. You know, some think that, you know, if you have a disk that maybe just was a lot richer in material, you might be able to form a large planet close in. But others disagree, and they think the planet must have formed further out and then drifted in. So there could have been sort of drag in the disk that caused it to slow down and slowly drift in. Or sometimes if you have more than one planet and they pass a bit too close to one another, their gravity can cause an interaction and you can get a planet shifted into another orbit. And that could be making planets a swing in close to the star.
Talking to Daniel Cleary, Science Magazine's senior UK correspondent, looking at weird solar systems and weird planets, weird as defined by what we see by comparison in our own solar system. Daniel, let's check out another kind. We hear a lot about this, these super Earths. So they're, you know, they're kind of like Earth, but they're really big. What are we seeing out there?
Yeah, in fact, that seems to be the most common sort of planet we've found so far. There was a NASA satellite called Kepler, which essentially just stared at one spot in space for several years and tried to get as many planets as it could find. And it found several thousand. And the most common type was a bit bigger than Earth and a bit smaller than Neptune. So it's in this in-between zone that doesn't exist in our solar system. And again, astronomers couldn't explain that. You know, they weren't quite sure how you could make a planet of that size because, you know, they so far had based all their theories about planet formation on our solar system. And they'd come up with theories that explained our solar system very well. So, but as soon as they were faced with different things, their theories didn't work anymore.
Are we starting to see technology come online or maybe just around the corner that's going to give us more insight into not just the size and the orbit and things like that, but what planets are made of, what's going on inside?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about better telescopes. So astronomers are always building and wanting better telescopes. And there's lots of stuff coming online in the next few years. There's several projects to build truly enormous telescopes on Earth. One called the Extremely Large Telescope, and another called the 30-meter telescope. So at the moment, the biggest telescopes are about 10 meters across. But so the 30-meter telescope, as you can imagine, is three times that width. And the extremely large telescope is slightly larger than that, about 39 meters across. So these are colossal instruments that will gather a lot of light and enable you to, you know, separate out the planet from the star. That's the problem with looking for planets around other solar systems, is that stars are really bright and planets are very dim, and they're very close together because they're so far away. So it's very hard to separate out the light from the planet from the star. And in most cases, we can't see the planet itself, but we see the effect it has. So, you know, a lot of the exoplanets we've discovered so far, we found because they pass in front of their star and cause it to dip in brightness, just a tiny little amount. And that's how we know we're there. And that's all we know about them, is from the shadow they cast when they pass in front of their star.
Ooh, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about another kind of planet. I hadn't heard about these. I heard of the super Earths and the hot Jupiters. The super puff. What's a super puff?
Yeah, well, that was another very mysterious sort of planet that people found, which didn't seem to be very heavy, but seemed to be very large. So they, you know, their only conclusion is that it must have just a very dense core, solid core in the middle, and then a very, very thick atmosphere, which is sort of being heated up because it's close to its star. And so it's all puffed out. And, you know, is just this sort of big ball of gas with a small little planetary core in the middle. So, again, something that is very foreign to us because nothing like that exists in our solar system.
In our last 40 seconds or so, Dan, I keep saying these other solar systems are weird. It seems like it's looking more and more like we're the weird ones here.
Yeah, it's starting to look like we're not typical, you know, that ours is a bit of an outlier. There's another really interesting one nearby that people are very excited about, which has got seven planets that are all Earth-sized. So they're like all really close together, close to their star. So if you lived on one of those planets, you'd be able to see these other Earth-like planets really nearby. And with a telescope, you might be able to make out, you know, people on other planets just you know, as these other planets passed by. You know, it's a weird idea, but it's very, very different from what we know from our solar system.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us and sharing this.
It was a pleasure.
Daniel Cleary is Science Magazine's senior correspondent in the United Kingdom. He talked with us about the field of exoplanet research and how new discoveries are making astronomers rethink our ideas about how planets form, finding surprising planets all over the place. And as we heard, some new gear is going to go online in the next few years that could answer a lot more questions about these weird solar systems.